Welcome back, in everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to be welcoming back one of our favorite new playwrights, Stefan Diethelm. He's joining us today to talk about his new work, Anton Goes to Heaven, which is playing September 19th through October 6th at Theater for a New City. Tickets and more information are available at theaterforthenewcity.net. We had such a great time speaking with Stefan last time he joined us with a new work then, and he's back now with a great new show. So let us welcome back in Stefan. Welcome into Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Andrew, thank you. Thank you for having me back. Always very, very nice to be here and chat with you.
I'm so excited you're back, and you've come back with a great new work, Anton Goes to Heaven. I mean, this, when we were talking just briefly before, and you mentioned that there was a question mark in the title, I was like, well, now you've just changed everything, because before it was like, yes, he's going to heaven. Now it's like, is he?
Who knows? You have to come see and find out. Exactly. I do love the little mystery in the title.
So, well, I want to start by having you tell us a little bit about what this show is about.
Of course. So Anton Goes to Heaven is a very abstract existentialist play that sort of deals with this character, Anton, who is not necessarily the best of people and who dies, spoilers, and ends up in purgatory, in a version of purgatory. And in this purgatory encounters family members, two family members specifically, his mother and his grandfather, in scenes that play out from previous parts of his life or scenes that never happened in his life but could have happened in his life. And all of that is sort of being overseen by Id, this character who is sort of in charge of purgatory, of this specific afterlife. And it's sort of not quite clear at the beginning, but presented throughout what Anton is here to do and what is asked of him. And then the essential question becomes, can he face the things that made him who he is and led him down the paths he has gone down? And can he make the changes or make the necessary leaps of understanding to change or to reckon with who he is? So that's sort of the challenge presented, I guess, is like, is this person who is presented as quite flawed from the beginning able to recognize his own flaws? Is he able to recognize the origins of his own flaws? And how does that affect us? And there's many, many different themes in it, but I'm sure we'll get to that. That's sort of the quickest blurb I can do.
I love that. That sounds so fascinating. What a great, great premise for a show.
Thank you.
So tell me, Stefan, what inspired you to pen this piece?
It's a wonderful question. There's a couple layers of inspiration that I sort of cycle through. Literally, I'm a big believer in steal from your idols. Steal everything. Let yourself be inspired by plays. And I have been really delving into the catalog of Sarah Kane recently, because it turns out there is a personal connection between my mentor and her as a playwright during her life, which was, of course, cut way too short. And I've just resonated so strongly with her pieces in a way that is, the brutality of it is just very human. And I had a desire to write a piece that was brutal, but in a human way. It's not beating you over the head with, look how clever it is. Oh, this is so scary. It's like, this is a version of humanity that exists that we don't get to, that we don't want to, or shouldn't have to face in life. But there is something to be learned from that experience. So Sarah Kane was a big inspiration. No Exit by Jean-Paul Sartre was also a big, big inspiration on that. A play I've been rereading and rereading. It's actually the play that made this play make sense. And there's a couple other underlying things. I've always been very interested in the rehabilitation of people, be they in jail, be they drifted off into cults or fringe political groups. Because I think we forget in our digital age that when someone is that far gone, they don't just disappear the moment we don't want to interact with them anymore. They are still existing in themselves and they still exist in our society. And so it is our charge as a society to do our best to help rehabilitate people and bring them back in, because they don't, again, you can block someone online. They still walk the streets. They still have their own needs and experiences. And that was sort of also folded in with with personal things. I think everyone has family members who interacting with is challenging. And when you are over time more intensely forced to reckon with family members like that, when it comes to these questions of rehabilitation, of building around as a family, it just sort of brings these things in. So that made like a nice little soup. And that's what sort of initially brought up the writing of this piece. I wanted to pen something that was brutal and human and absurd, because I always harken back to the theater of the absurd. It's sort of my crutch. I can always, when I can do nothing else, I know I can make a fun, absurd moment happen that makes people go, huh? And so I've tried to avoid that here, but the root is still the root.
That is so awesome. I love that. Who doesn't love a good theater of the absurd? That's all I'm saying. That's a great experience to have, you know?
100%, 100%.
So literally, as we are talking right now, you are at the theater, rehearsals are underway for the show. I would love to know, what has it been like developing the piece?
It's a wonderful question. So I've been developing this piece with my friend and our director, Andy Reif, who is just a wonderful mind in the world of theater. It has been a very, very exciting process working with them on this. And it's been very collaborative. So I started writing this play over a year ago. Last time we chatted, I had my show Devil and the Playwright going up, and I made the fatal mistake of not writing anything when that was going up. And so what happened was I sort of was stuck for half a year after that show went up, and I was writing this and rewriting this and rewriting this piece, and wrote a bunch of versions, read No Exit, that made it more succinct. And then I brought it to Andy at the end of spring and was like, hey, I want to do this. And we've been connected by mutual friends. And so since then, it's been very collaborative, to answer your question in earnest. Since then, it's been very collaborative. We've brought in the technical aspects of it. I will write something and they'll be like, okay, cool. Let's tie it into what's already here. Let's tie it into what we've already set up. Where do we need more clarity? Where can it be beautiful and abstract and weird? And let the acting or the stage itself tell the story. So we've really found moments where the words are what drives us forward, and moments where everything else drives us forward. And it's been very collaborative also with the actors. They've been very generous in trying things and giving impulses that I can then see and rework. It's actually interesting you're catching me in the first rehearsal after we froze the script. So we just froze the script, and now it's trucking towards the end. So now I can't change it anymore, which is very terrifying, but it's been just a joy so far.
It's fantastic to hear. That's a wonderful process going on there. I love hearing that.
Thank you.
Now, with such a fascinating story that you're telling, and with such great themes that you're playing with, is there a message or a thought that you are hoping the audiences will take away from the show?
That is another great question. I have thought about that for a while, and it has taken many forms. I think the thing I always find out what my plays are about when I watch them. So opening night is going to sort of answer that question for me. But I think what I want the first thing is, I want people to think when they come and see the show. I don't want them to be able to just sit back and watch and be like, ha, funny, or ha, sad. I just want people to be affected by it and then take their own conclusions. I think there is a through line in there of looking at how family specifically and our circumstances make us who we are, but then, or give us the building blocks of who we are, but then it's on us to go out and choose to do good. And that is examined through characters who are given flawed building blocks, but choose to not do good with them, to sort of exacerbate that whole process and sort of carry that on through generations. So I think I want people to look at that and then examine that in themselves, examine that in their lives. My goal is always to put real, living, breathing human beings on stage, and the interactions those human beings have and their relationships and the way they talk to each other should be a reflection of how humans talk to each other, so that then people who watch it can go out and be like, how am I like this? How am I not like this? How is someone in my life like this? I think theater is at its best when it holds up the mirror to society, to humanity, but not with judgment and not with It doesn't filter anything and it doesn't highlight anything. Theater should be a perfect mirror. And what we take away from that is what we take away from that.
Oh, I love those ideas. Love them. Well, my final question for the first part is, who are you hoping have access to Anton Goes to Heaven?
That's a wonderful question. I think, what I really adore about Theater for the New City is that they are really focusing on making theater accessible for everyone, price-wise. And there's not necessarily, I think the target group I could foresee is people around my age range, people in their 20s and 30s and 40s, because I think we have, growing up with or growing into the internet and social media, we get this sense that people who we disagree with cease to exist when we don't see them anymore. And I think it's important to reckon with that and what makes people be the way they are and how we can reach them. I think that's a large thing throughout the play, is you have to try to reach people and they will reject you most times, sometimes every time. So I guess it's very much a play that I think could benefit from a young audience, but I think it's a play that can benefit from everyone seeing it. I want theater to be accessible. I want everyone to have a chance to think, because I think everyone knows a person like this. Everyone knows a person in their life, whether it's politically, personally, that they have intense disagreements with, that are hard to be around. And I'm not saying that that is something we should all just sit down and tolerate, but I'm saying there's a reason why people are the way they are. And it's very easy to not want to think about that without necessarily excusing their behavior. It's the kind of thing of, yeah, what is everyone's building blocks and how do they use those building blocks to build who they are? I think that's the important question. I often harken back to, and I am very long-winded, I often harken back to Stephen Sondheim. Stephen Sondheim would have had every right, based on his upbringing, based on the things he experienced, to be the meanest person on planet Earth. There are people who have gone through much less and excused bad behavior, but he chose love and joy and connection at every single turn. And it's just very exciting to think that a lot of people are like that.
Second part of our show, as you know, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And we've had you on before. We had a lovely conversation about you, if you will. But I'm curious to know, you know, Stefan, how did you come into the performing arts?
That is a wonderful question. And I, as an actor, writer, I always love talking about myself. So thank you for this platform. So I started out as a singer. I was a classical singer. I'm from Switzerland originally, which there's not that many playwrights in the US from Switzerland, which is to my benefit. There's one very famous playwright from Switzerland that people will be familiar with, who is Friedrich Dürrenmatt, who wrote The Visit and The Physicist and all that. Back in the day where Swiss plays would go straight from Zurich to Broadway, this was in the 30s still. But I was a singer and classical singer, fell in love with musical theater my senior year of high school. I moved to Hamburg, Germany at the young age of 17 to study musical theater, and did that until summer 2020 when the pandemic hit. And I was like, well, I've always wanted to try to come to New York City and try to study here and work here alongside all these great, great theater minds, because the drive is just, the level of talent is higher and the drive is much higher. People here are so driven, especially in the city, because you kind of have to be. And I was like, I want to measure myself with that and see how I end up. And I went to theater school here for 2 years. And that's how I met my mentor, Eduardo Machado, who I've been studying with on and off for a while now, and who has very heavily influenced my writing, both as a playwright and as a teacher. And I can't thank him enough for all the lessons. He is, if not for him, I would have been writing bad drafts of this play for years. So I gotta get up to him for that. But yeah, that's how I came into the performing arts, is the classic classical singer to musical theater to actor to playwright pipeline. We all know it, dime a dozen.
It's the fastest way to get into theater, absolutely. That's incredible though. I love that. Now, I want to ask my favorite question again to you, because I'd love to hear another one, but what is another of your favorite theater memories?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I was thinking about that, and I'm like, there's so many. I'm trying to pull in. I can't. I started out in opera, watching opera, so that's always been up there for me. I remember watching a recording of Tosca. They were doing on a swimming stage in Austria, very close to where I grew up. And there was a moment, don't know if you know Tosca very well, but the plot is like, yeah, like her love gets imprisoned and beaten up. And what they literally did, and this just kind of as a child, I just think about this all the time because it showed me what's possible in theater. They have this man, he comes like rolling out onto the stage. He's covered in like in stage blood and all that because he's just been beaten up. And then they literally kick him off the stage into the water. And I went, oh, we can do that. And that's something I've recently thought about. If I ever get that kind of budget, I will definitely have someone fall off a stage. That's something I'm a big fan of. I don't know if you saw The Great Gatsby on Broadway, but that was one of my favorite moments was spoilers when Jeremy Jordan falls off the stage into the orchestra pit. I was like, oh, wow, we can do that. But if we're going theater, if we're going plays, a moment I always hearken back to, and I'm going to keep hearkening back to, is when Passover was on Broadway in 2021, first show to reopen. I went to see it. And just that entire experience, I walked out after an hour and a half with so many thoughts and so many feelings about what had just happened on stage. And it was a play that just got to me, it gripped me, and it wouldn't let me go for an hour and a half. And while I am by no means trying to measure myself with Antoinette Wonder or with any of those great playwrights, and understand I'm very much early in my career and I have a lot to learn, but that is what I'm looking for. I want to play where people can't sit back. I want to play where people don't have time to cough. That's kind of how I think about it a lot. It's almost Wagner in his operas eliminated applause after arias, because he wanted the story to keep going. And that's how I feel about coughing. I want to have a play where you are so invested for 90 minutes that you don't have time to cough, that you don't have time to shift in your seat, because that's how you know that people are falling out of it, or that it's gripping them very much. But yeah, so that's Passover did that for me. I didn't breathe for an hour and a half, I felt like, and I will forever remember what it was like sitting in that audience. It was from the first moment, and I laughed, and then I laughed so much I cried, and then I cried, and then I got so scared, and then I got really upset, and then I started laughing again. It was just a whiplash of emotions, because it was, you cared about the characters, you cared about what was happening.
Absolutely. Those are wonderful memories, first of all. Thank you so much for sharing those. Those were fascinating. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about Anton Goes to Heaven or about you. Maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
That is, I'm available in many forms. The easiest is probably social media. I'm at Steph Diesel, STEF, and then Diesel, like the fuel, because my last name is Detail and I like puns. They can find the show at theaterforthenewcity.net. If they look at what's playing, they'll find Anton Goes to Heaven. We also have a social media site at Anton Goes to Heaven Play. Check us out there. We post some cool like cast announcements, and we're working on some behind the scenes content. So that's going to be neat. I should have a website, and I don't currently, so I don't have a website to plug.
Perfect. Well, Stefan, thank you so much for coming back on and joining us and bringing us another fantastic work of yours. I'm so stoked for it. I'm going to come see this. It sounds wonderful. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you for having me. I had a great time chatting theater with you, as always, and I look forward to seeing you at the show.
Yes. My guest today has been the incredible playwright Stefan Diethelm, who joined us to talk about his new show, Anton Goes to Heaven. It's playing September 19th through October 6th at Theater for a New City, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting theaterforthenewcity.net. We also have some contact information for Stefan and his show that we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure right now you head to theaterforthenewcity.net, get your tickets, come out and support these wonderful artists and this fabulous show. Again, it's Anton Goes to Heaven, playing September 19th through October 6th. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote, have a plan to cast your ballot, and do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register to vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.